Now you should hear me.
Yes. For okay. Now. Yes.
Okay. Let's see what happens. Okay. We are in Bezos Hashem Chavis Alvavis Shah Hatshuva. Sorry. Chavis Alvavis Shah Hatshuva Perek Yud. Last Perek of Shah Hatshuva. Chavis Alvavis is telling us that we've been saying yesterday that although he delineated many circumstances where tshuva gets complicated, if you do everything you can, Hashem, so to speak, undertakes the rest of your tshuva to make it work. He'll aid you. So, okay. So he's moving through a number of the examples that we discussed earlier. The classic cases are cases of Benotam Lachavira, and where you either the person doesn't want to be Meichel you, or you don't know how to get a hold of the person, etc. So yesterday he told us that when you're doing everything that's in your power, you're trying to get a hold of him, you are approaching him and trying to appease him, etc., then Hashem will make the rest work. He'll put it in his heart to forgive him. Now, v'nirchak mimenu ha'ashuk, Chazal is giving us some promises here. If you're trying to do everything you can, if the person who you hurt is very far away, yazmin ha'bori hiskabtzom, then Hashem will cause you to end up together with him. And give you the opportunity to humble yourself before him, ask him for mechila v'yim chale, and then he'll forgive you. I want to note something. You have to try to get a hold of the person. Because I was talking about without phones. You have to try to get a hold of the person. You have to do whatever it is in your power to, yes, contact the person. So some of us are saying, in those situations where you've done, you can't just say, I really sincerely want to do tshuva, but it's too unpleasant to call the person. But tshuva can be a painful process. And part of what we're talking about here is that you are willing to undertake the painful process. When you're doing everything that isn't your power, and you're being meiser nefesh, Hashem, Chavis Halvavis is telling us that we'll get the siyata dishmaya to see it through. Now, im lo yedo ha'anoshim ha'ashukim, u'mispah ha'momen ha'asho oshak, in cases where, say, you don't know the people who you hurt, or if you caused various types of damage and you don't even know who suffered as a result, you don't know who do you owe money to, you don't even know. So, Yafik Oysayakel, Hashem will enable you to spend money on benefits for the public, right? This is the Eitz of the Gemara, right? If you don't know who you're supposed to repay, you do things that are beneficial for the public. You sponsor a bridge, right? You live in a town, there's two sides of the river. It's a big asik for people to have to ferry across every time. You decide you're going to donate a bridge. There, you are benefiting everybody. Or you sponsor a well. Okay, you have a well dug in the center of town that everybody will benefit from. Or you dig water holes on roads where there aren't many. And other such things that bring benefit to the public. Until you reach a point where the benefit that you're bringing will include Misha Oshak or Mishaloy Oshak. Those who you actually did cheat and those who you didn't. Now, this is an Eitzah. This is a general Eitzah. When you know that you owe somebody money, you have no way of getting a hold of the person. Chazal gives us the Eitzah of doing Tzorchei Rabin. I suppose the contemporary examples of this would be, because obviously different scales, but let's say, for example, I knew somebody in Mir, I'm assuming that this wasn't tshuva, I'm assuming this was just plain chesed, but there was somebody in Mir, but that was his thing. He used to come in every morning with a massive package of tissue packages. package of tissue packages this big, right? You would go around distributing them on every few shtetls. He came to me, there was an ample supply of tissues. One person used to go around doing this every morning, right? Or the person who, Reb Shalom Shvadron, was once in the mikveh, Shari Chesed, he slipped and hurt himself. What did he do? He donated a basket of slippers to the mikveh, right? These are different ideas of Tzorchei Rabbi. You can even, you know, if you don't necessarily, you're not creative enough to figure out what can I do on my own, you decide you're going to donate to a shul X amount of the supply of, say, tissues and toilet paper, right? Things like that, or other such things that you can think of that are...
That's assuming that the person you ashak is part of that shul.
What's that?
Assuming the person that you owe the money to is part of that shul.
Oh, that's right. Meaning you assume, again, if you actually know who the person is, you have to contact him. But in a case where you don't know in a general way, this person is from the neighborhood, the place you caused the problems is in the neighborhood, in the shul, whatever it is, there, you can do something like that, right? You walk down Ayalon, and you see that cold water machine on the street with the cups, right? So yeah, I'm kind of doing something, I'm doing an injustice. I'm suggesting, I'm not trying to imply that maybe these people need to do tshuva for something. I'm just giving beautiful examples of Tzorchei Rabim, right? It's not tzedakah, they're not doing it for poor people. They are doing it for the benefit of the public. That's like it says, Gnilus Chasadim is Imanim V'imim Ashirim. So they're finding there's all kinds of different creative ways. So in general, this is a beautiful thing to do. In general, it's a beautiful thing to do. But he is now providing it in the specific context of when you know you've done things that have caused harm, damage, loss, people in a shul, people in the neighborhood. So you find a way of doing things for that a realm that provide public benefit. Okay. Now, v'im yamus ha'ashuk, if, by sigurim, and all kinds of different things. V'im yamus ha'ashuk, if the person died, yashiv ha'maman le'yoshav, then you pay his heirs. Okay, that's simple enough. And if it's not an issue of paying, you hurt the person, or you spoke badly of him, and now he's not alive anymore. So here also, there is an expedient. You go and you confess over his grave, in the presence of 10 people. Right? These are standard halachas, actually. These are halachas in Shulchan Aruch, these exact processes of how you do this. Ron, you still have to get mechila from a person who's already passed away. And then he'll forgive you.
I think it will help if you have a 1,000 miles away. Can you
make a shliach?
No. Can you gather 10 people around Zoom?
Can you do it with Zoom? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. But you can make a shliach. You can. It says you should really try to go yourself. But if it's not possible, you can make a shliach. Okay. Like Chazal said about this, you take a minion of people there, you bring them to the kever. Amen. Then you say, I have sinned against Hashem Elokei Yisrael and against Mr. So-and-so who is buried here. It's more to the process. It's an intense process, right? Then you have to take off your shoes and you have to sit down on the floor for a moment. Okay. Now, well, whatever the case is, we come back to the point. Here he got into a few of the practical specifics. But we got back to the point that when the technicalities of tshuva are unavailable to you, either because Ben Adam and Chavira get complicated, or in cases of Ben Adam and Malka, when the effects are still out there and you're not able to undo them. So he said, you apply yourself fully without giving yourself any discounts to everything that is in your hands, and then Hashem will provide the Siyata Dishmaya for the rest. Now, therefore, he concludes and he says, He ties this up like this.
He says, there's no such thing as tshuva being prevented from somebody unless it's because of his own bad character. There's no such thing. A person who didn't manage to do tshuva, it's not because he was not successful. It's because he didn't really choose to do so properly. Meaning, all the Rishonim stress this. When it talks about the things, ha-ma'akvim sa-tshuva, that means it's going to be more difficult, and you're going to have to fight your way harder toward the tshuva. But it's never nimna. It's never not possible. The Shlosh says something very beautiful of the famous precedent in the Gemara of a person who, it seems, well, lost the opportunity to do tshuva, right? The famous case of Acher, of Elisha ben Avuya, where he actually heard a basko come out and say, "Shuvu banim shevavim, chutz me Acher." Right? His Talmud Rameya asked him, he was a great Talmud Chacham, his Talmud Rameya asked him, what's that? Today's daf. Oh, well. Oh, well. Okay, see that? So I'm learning daf yomi b'shergig, Baruch Hashem.
That's twice in 1 week.
Twice in 1 week. That,
it is, so,
maybe I'm trying to do tshuva for having left the daf yomi track, so Hashem is giving me the siyata d'shemaya. So what happened there? His Talmud Rameh told him, was trying to exhort him to do tshuva. And he said, he heard a basko that came out and said, "Tshuva banu shevam chutz me'acha. All wayward sons are invited to do tshuva. Come do tshuva, except Acher." He said, "You see that I was cut out. Min hashamayim, I was cut out of tshuva." So he didn't do tshuva. So the Shlosh says something beautiful. The Shlosh says he was not precluded from doing tshuva. You have to be medayik exactly what was said there. It says Hashem was issuing an invitation. That's how it works. There's a standing invitation. A person, Chalila, was Choyte. Hashem is actually standing there with outstretched arms and is inviting him to come back. Right? It's not that you have to force your way in. So what was said there was, Shuvu banim shevavim. Hashem is extending this invitation. Shuvu banim shevavim. Chutz me'acha is not included in the invitation. The invitation is not addressed to him. That's all. But had he come uninvited and pushed his way in, it would have worked. That's what the Shlosh says. Something very beautiful. There's no such thing as a person who can't do tshuva, no matter what. Just what? A person is gone. Past a certain point, the tshuva will get more difficult. That's like the Shlosh says, tshuva means return. So he says, picture the following. You have a road going through a jungle. Have a road going through a jungle, and you strayed off that road. I'm talking about a thick jungle, you strayed off that road. You decided, whatever, I don't need to be on the road. And then a few hours later, you regret it. It's kedai to be on the road. So he says, now you can't just say, all right, I'll just continue walking in the direction I was going. Now you're going to have to cut your way through thicket. You might have to fend off wild animals in order to get back to the road. So, yes, there may be situations where the tshuva is going to be more difficult. Hashem is putting you through a grind in order to get back there. But there is never a situation where tshuva is not possible. So now, so therefore he says, a person who didn't do tshuva, there's never a case of a person who couldn't do tshuva. The person doesn't do tshuva, it's because of his own bad choices and his misleading himself. If the person truly wants to get back close to Hashem, the gateway of tshuva will not be closed before him. And nothing will be able to prevent you from getting there. Rather, Hashem will provide you with a straight road to get there. This is when it's not too complicated. We said when it's more complicated, it could be not such a straight road. But in normal cases, Adarabba, we said in the normal case, there's that invitation that Acher didn't get. Shuvu banu shavava, Hashem says here, Yemincha pshuto lekabel shavi. After Mamish, think of it in those terms. Hashem is standing there with an outstretched hand. Take my hand, and I'm going to pull you back. Hashem will guide you along the right path to get back in His chesed and in His goodness. Okay, we'll stop here. A good Shabbos.
Shabbos. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The first instance earlier this week was Move Us Lo Yachal Liskon.